Well, good morning again, church. It's incredible to be where we're at, but even greater that we can get online and share together today around God's Word and especially around the communion table. Firstly and foremostly, though, it's Mother's Day. And I want to express my love and appreciation out there to every mum. You're such a blessing of God. You're such a treasure. You have been a rock in most households, a support. Well, in every household that I know of anyway, incredibly self-sacrificial, and it's a day that we need to honour that, because mothers are a real gift from God, and there's never a time in my life that I don't appreciate my mum. And on Mother's Day, I wish she was here with me still, but that's not the way it is. She's in a far better place, but at the same time, I treasure the memories, and I treasure all that my mum was to me. And we need to make sure that we honour our mums, not just today, but every day. They're a real blessing to every household and to every family. So to all the mums out there, my love and God's blessings to you all on this amazing day. Sun shining, beautiful day. A bit cold in the atmosphere though, but such a glorious day that we can just share with our mums together. And I trust at this time, we can share around God's table together with our mums and with our dads and with our parents and kids. If you're around, it'd be a great opportunity for you to serve communion to them. If you've got a cracker and some juice there, as we take communion together, it would be such an honor for you to be able to serve that to your mums today and say, "Mum, I really appreciate God bringing you or into my life or me into your life," whichever way it may be. So that's incredible. You know, I just want to share around the 23rd Psalm. It's a real blessing of God, this Psalm. And even in the day we're in and the situations of uncertainty, Psalm 23 is an absolute reassurance of God with us. The Lord is my shepherd. The government's not my shepherd. My pay pack is not my shepherd. My boss is not my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I'm satisfied with all that I need because He shepherds me. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He gives me nourishment at the best of times. The pastures are green where God lays me down. He leads me beside still waters. You know, it can be turbulent in this world. Things can be rough and tumble. But God knows where to take us into still waters. I've had sheep, and I've grown up with farmers, uncles who were farmers that had sheep. And we noticed one thing: sheep do not drink from running or turbulent waters. They drink from still waters. And God leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. And in the still waters of His Word, He restores our soul. He guides and leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's His reputation. His name is His reputation. And therefore, we don't trust Him. If we don't follow Him, His reputation and His name cannot be glorified in us. And even though, cop this for 2020, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's only the shadow. Don't worry about shadows. Shadows are nothing to fear. You know, people jump at shadows sometimes, or jump in the shadows, but shadows are really nothing. They are only a form of the reality. But even though if we walk through the valley of a shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for God's with me. His rod and staff comfort me. Man, it's another scripture that said, though the heathen rage, I will trust in the Lord. You know, and so His rod and His staff comfort us regardless of the turmoil that this world is in. We will fear no evil. We're fearing no evil. I spoke about having dominion last week, for God is with us. He wants us to walk in confidence in Him. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And that doesn't necessarily just mean people. It can be anything that is an enemy to us. Fear, anxiety, torment, worry, all those things. He prepares a table before us in the presence of all those things, and they have no hold over us. He anoints our head with oil. That's his mark of approval. That's his assignment of authority. He anoints us with his empowerment. I love that. He empowers us to do what he wants us to do and be what he wants us to be. So he's, our cup then runs over with gratitude. Ha, I love that. My cup runs over. It's not just a drip in a cup that he gives us. It overflows. And so goodness, mercy, and loving kindness follow us all the days of our lives, and we don't dwell in the house or the presence of God forever. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. You know, David had a revelation of that in Psalm 138. He says, with my whole heart I will praise you, O God. He was fully sold out. His heart was going to praise God regardless. And he said, when I've called, you've answered me. The confidence that David has is the same confidence, and we should have even greater confidence than that because of what Jesus did. He came and paved the way for us into the holiest of holies, into the presence of God. When we turn around and pray and say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, we have access to the highest office in the universe before the strongest and greatest God and before the throne of his grace to find help in any time of need. He's an awesome God. If ever you're feeling down, if ever you're feeling like things are against you and things are not going your way, look at Psalm 23. The Lord is our shepherd. We have every sufficiency. And it was made available to us through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Take your bread today. We're going to be thankful today. And with our whole hearts, we're going to praise him and give him glory and say, thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for me. And I appreciate you for all that you are. You are my shepherd, and I will praise you with my whole heart. Father, we take this bread today in the name of Jesus, and we give you thanks for the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's eat it together. Amen. And we take the cup, which seals, ratifies, and makes available to us the amazing new covenant. Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. He said, drink ye all of it. Don't let any bit of it slip you by. This covenant is a covenant of life. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let's drink together. We got an awesome song prepared that we want to just share with you. And why don't you sit back and just worship God and be thankful to him. Praise him with your whole heart as we
mountains won't move. Still I'll wait here for you know. You keep me standing.
That's an awesome song. And we are encouraged in God's word to wait on him. Father, we thank you today that we can wait on you, that we can come to you, we can worship you, we can exalt you, we can minister to you. And we know, Lord, you reciprocate and minister to us. We know that as we minister to you and wait on you, that we renew our strength. We mount up with wings as of eagles. We run and we're not weary. We walk and we're not faint. And so today, Lord God, in spite of the craziness of this world and the turmoil that it's in, we wait on you. We run without weariness. We walk without fainting. We soar with wings of eagles in your presence because you're our God. We love you so much, Lord God, and thank you for this amazing opportunity today to share around your word. Well, praise God. Well, I want to turn to the scriptures today and talk to you about being double-minded or double-mindedness. And the scripture says this: "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And so let patience have its perfect work, that we would be made perfect, complete, entire, and lacking nothing. If any of us lack wisdom, let's ask of God, who gives to all liberally and does not hold back and without reproach, and it will be given to us. But let us ask in faith, without any doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind, doesn't have any direction of its own, that means. Let not that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Well, that's a real amazing scripture, that. You know, if we just get thrown around by fads and new wave things and everything that goes on without our stability in our life, we're like the wind tossing the sea around. And we're like a wave of the sea that's just got no direction of its own. We're at the whim and the beck and call of other influences. And that's not what God wants for our lives. It says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That level of stability in a person's life is incalculable in the damage it can do, in the way it can throw us left and right and off center and keep us out of focus and cause us to lose direction in our lives. And we can't afford that. We need to be solid and secure in what God has for us. We can't be a person who's a will I or a won't I, or can I or a can't I, or will God do this for me or won't God do that for me, or will he heal me or won't he heal me, or is it his will or isn't his will. Get into his word and find out. Get some stability in it. Don't be uncertain, because that uncertainty is double-mindedness and it creates instability and causes such a loss in our lives. You know, it'd be pretty scary if God was as double-minded as we are, or if God was even double-minded at all. Just think about that. If God was a little bit shaky on his will or on his things, and he's not. He's got an amazing, clearly laid out plan and purpose and will in his word, if we would learn it, read it, and understand it, and get it into our thinking. But if he was at all double-minded, his faithfulness would fail. His mercies would be fickle. Will I or won't I? I don't want to bless him today. His grace would be uncertain for us. We couldn't trust him. You know, that would be terrible. It'd be like in the old days in Australia, where Australia was being founded, and really in the early days there were no communications and there was no internet and there was no news, there was no television. The only way the word traveled around the country was what they called the bush telegraph. And if I was a person who couldn't be trusted, if I gave my word that I would do something and didn't do it, or I would honor something and I didn't honor it, or I'd pay something and I didn't pay it, that bush telegraph was a pretty quick moving system. And my name would be mud before you knew it, because my word could not be depended on. And it got around real quick. Don't trust so-and-so. Don't trust this person. Don't trust that person. They do not keep their word. And that's pretty sad, because once upon a time, and as I grew up, I remember the saying, a man's word is his bond. Wow. And if you didn't keep your word and you didn't honor your word, once upon a time, a handshake was enough. Now we need legal documents drawn up by a lawyer that's pages and pages of nonsense no one understands. You can't even get your head around it. And then it can be subject to all sorts of interpretation. I prefer the old ways, where I said, I'll do it, and I do it. Not a whole heap of nonsense going on. I don't want a bush telegraph telling of a reputation that isn't right, or a reputation that isn't depended on. You know, God's the same. I mentioned that scripture before in Psalm 138, where David said, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before all other gods, ahead of any other, I will sing praises to you. I will worship towards your holy temple. I will praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day I cried out, you answered me, and you made me bold with strength in my soul. You know, it's incredible that David had an insight there where he said, you have magnified, lifted up, exalted, and guaranteed the reputation of your name by your word being lifted up. God's word is paramount in even God's eyes. It gives his name a reputation, because he will honor his word. He says, I will hasten my word to perform it. His word is important. Jesus said, heaven and earth might pass away, but my word will not pass away. Never. His word is absolutely secure for eternity. In 1 Peter 1:22, he says, we've been born again of a seed which is not perishable, but imperishable. We're not born of a seed that's perishable, but imperishable. And that is through the living and enduring word of God. 1 Peter 1:23. That's amazing. It says, verse 24, for all flesh is like grass. Its glory is like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower fails. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Wow. Wow, isn't that an amazing scenario? The word of the Lord actually endures forever. You know, if Jesus Christ is the word of God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the same Jesus that was there at creation. He's the same Jesus who was the fourth man in the fire, in the fiery furnace. He's the same Jesus who walked this earth and presented truth and introduced us to the Father. He's the same Jesus who rose again and who now seated at the right hand of the Father in glory. He never, ever changes. There's no shadow of turning in him. He doesn't vary one iota. You know, in today's world, and in even some of the churches today, which is a bit of a tragedy, we have a modern thinking that God's word is old-fashioned. It's out of date. It's not relevant for this era. It's out of touch with today's world, but nothing is further from the truth. God's word is still the truth and the foundation of truth. The world is the thing that's out of touch with God's word. The world is the thing that's irrelevant to God's word. The world is changing its fashion and leaving God's word out of it and moving itself away from the reality of truth. And it's really sad that some churches today even debate the truth of the word of God and make up things or change things that do not comply or align with God's word. His word never changes. It makes us double-minded, not God. God himself said, I am the Lord God, I change not. I am the Lord, I never change, I do not change. And that's the reason I have not consumed you, you sons of Jacob. You know, he made a promise to their father Abraham. Israel went off the rails so many times, but he says, I have honored my word. Therefore, you guys haven't been getting what you really deserve. That's pretty amazing. You've gone away from my ordinances. You've not kept them. But will you return to me? And I will return to you. I want you back. God's mercy and God's grace and God's faithfulness to his word is so paramount in God's mind because it gives him a reputation showing his dependability, his faithfulness, his guaranteed assurance, his grace, his mercy, and his love. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and life, the light of men. You know, there's an amazing picture there of Jesus Christ. He's the Word of God. He was there in the beginning. He made everything, and without him, there was nothing made. He was part and parcel of creation. You know, when God decided, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that there would be a creation, the thought of what was to be done was generated with the Father. It was spoken by the Word, who is Jesus. And when that Word came out, let there be light, the Holy Spirit was already in position, hovering, waiting for the Word to come, and creation began by the power of God. They worked together in that amazing creative form that they showed in that complete harmony together. And then it goes on in verse 14 of John 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Boy, this incredible God took on himself the form of a man and became as a servant. What an incredible humbling of our God to just become one of us, to bring the life of God into this planet that so desperately needed it. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. We looked on his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his fullness we have all received. We're all recipients of his fullness and grace for grace. It says, sure, the law was given through Moses. Sure, there was an era in time past where regulations were put in place. But now grace and truth has come through Jesus Christ. I absolutely love that. He was there in the beginning. He was the Word. He never changes. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, was the living Word at the beginning. He was the living Word when he walked this planet. He is still the living Word of God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. And that principle, that standard, that statement that he made has never changed. He is the only avenue to come to God through. God's word and the truth of it must be our paramount standard. We can't deviate from it. If it's not God's word, then it just is not truth. It might look like truth. It might show itself to have an appearance of truth. It might contain some truth. But if it is not fully aligned with God's word, it is not the truth. Therefore, truth of God's word must be paramount in our standard. The more you learn of the truth of God's word, the more you learn of God's word, you begin to assess situations by it. You begin to assess what people say or what they think or what they claim they believe. And it's really amazing as I've learned to grow in the knowledge of God's word and the knowledge of God. People say things to me and I feel like I'm a computer. I'm scanning Genesis to Revelation and I say, well, hang on, that doesn't fit or that fits. Because of what they've said, it'll generate an instant attraction to God's word for me. I go straight back to the word to see that it complies, lines up, and is not in conflict with God's word. And that's the way we need to be. We need to ensure that all that we are, all that we say, all we do, all we believe in is functional around and complies with and aligns with the truth of the Word of God. If God's Word is the standard that upholds us, if it is the standard that we live by, if it is the standard that we assess and judge things by, it'll set us free from all uncertainty. It'll liberate us from any form of double-mindedness and instability. It'll keep us liberated and free. We'll never get tied in knots about what if and can I or can't I or whatever. We can go straight to God and say, Lord God, I need your peace in this situation. I throw and cast my care on you. I am anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, I'm letting my request be made known to you, Lord God. This situation is trying to steal my peace, but the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus, and I need your word for this situation, and I thank you, Lord God, that my peace will remain with me, because nothing will torment me or take me away from the stability of what you want and your word. That's just a way we can come to God in every given situation. I will wait on you, Lord God. I will wait on you. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Not those that run around like chooks with their head cut off. We soar with wings like eagles. We're not chickens pecking at the dirt. We are soaring with God when we allow him to be paramount and his word to be paramount in our life. Released fully from all instability and double-mindedness. If you're finding that there's a challenge in your life about things and you're not sure one way or the other, take it to the Lord. Don't be double-minded about it. Don't be uncertain about it. Don't let it create that area of instability in your life. Bring it back to the Word of God. Bring it to the Father in prayer. Wait on him. Worship him. Begin to soar. And he will then cause you to run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Get rid of all that instability in your life. The Bible says this, you have set my feet upon a rock. What rock is he talking about? It's the rock of the truth of God's word, our rock and salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ. You have set my feet upon a rock, and I will never or not be shaken. You know, I encourage you today to ensure your feet are solidly planted, solidly and firmly planted in Christ Jesus. And if he is the truth, as he said he was, if he's the word, which the word says he is, and he promised and said that he was himself, then there is no greater rock. There is no greater stable foundation. There is no greater stability for our lives than knowing Jesus and knowing his word and having it paramount in our thinking. I encourage you, read the Bible. Get into it. You may not understand it word for word. You may not understand every page. But you know something? If you've at least put it in there, the Holy Spirit can come along, and just at creation, he's hovering. And when that word's needed, he'll go into work. He'll bring about a creative power in your life that changes situations for your benefit. He's the God that never changes. He's the God who's full of grace and truth. And the mercies and his love never ceases. His mercies are new to us every morning. And I thank him for it. And so the steadfast love of the Lord never, never will cease for us. That'll get rid of all double-mindedness. That'll get rid of all uncertainty. That'll get rid of all instability. And it doesn't mean we're never going to face challenges. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Well, let the world tribulate. But he said, fear not, I've overcome the world. And if we're in him, we're an overcomer with him, regardless of what this world tries to do. And so we can praise him and worship him and thank him for that. I'll just pray for a moment. Father, thank you so much that we can come to you, that we can bring our petitions to you, that you're a God who loves and who cares for us, that you're a God who presented grace and truth through your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you that that rock of our salvation, that foundation that you put into place for us to build our lives on, that firm base of truth, Him being the Word, and Your Word being truth, we thank You for in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray You'll just strengthen each and every person listening today. Lord, we repent, and I repent for the times that we've tried to go out alone without depending on You, without taking Your Word and making it paramount in every situation, and it's caused that instability. Father, we don't want to see that happen in our lives, because we need to be who You want us to be, who You've made us to be. And we thank You for the principles of Your Word, and we thank You for the guidance and the direction that's in there to put us on the right track. Father, I pray that each and every person within the sound of my voice or hears my voice today would learn to know and trust You beyond measure, beyond anything we've ever trusted before. For Your Word is sure and true, and it guarantees the reality of Your name. And we thank You for the reputation of Your name, because, Lord God, Your Word never fails. And I praise You for it today in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for every mother today that's out there. The Lord, they'd be blessed, that every family would be blessed that's honoring their mum today. And regardless of whether it's by phone or by internet or whatever it might be, because they can't get together, I praise You, Lord God, for a blessing on every household and every mum in the name of Jesus. I thank You for it. Amen. Thank you for tuning in today. It's been awesome. There's another song we put up a couple of weeks ago that I reckon is one of the most amazing songs that I've heard for a long time. Your blood speaks a better word. And it was through that shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that the power and the authority of His word was made available to us to come to Him with. And let's listen to that now. God bless you all. Amen. Shouting down the lines, it echoes, it echoes.
speaks a better word. Speaking life over me. It's rewriting my history. It covers me with destiny.
Yes, it does.
It's making all things right. The precious blood of Christ. It's rewriting my history.
Yeah, yeah.
It covers me with destiny.
Oh, it's making all things right.
It's making all things right. The precious blood of Christ. It's rewriting my history.
Reconciled by the blood of Christ.